it was the eve of the end. Our land was dying. We were as isolated and alienated from nature as we were from each other. The island had changed and shifted and was now unrecognizable from the year of my birth. And the weather was no longer shown on TV. And there were so many painful and confusing occurrences that were unavoidable in just living out one simple day on our island. People simply learned to whistle and walk by. It was on the outskirts of the city that I found our guide, muttering and reciting prophecies, hunched over, facing the corner of a bus shelter. He wasn't much to look at. He just looked like the rest of us in form, but I knew it was him. I felt it and the air stood still. My senses were heightened and my mouth opened up. With a sharp movement, he turned to face me.
Aurora, Australis. Aurora, Australis. A green is glow, the wind is low, the parallel rays of magnetic control, the storm ignites.
Began their tawdry mating dance. And in that split second, his eyes entered mine. And in that moment, they were all I could see. His left eye was of the deepest, saddening blood red, and the right of the brightest blue with golden speckles. One of frost and one of fire. He glared at me, bitter and scared, like a fallen soldier of this apocalypse. Twisted was his tongue, as was his spine. His blonde, greased hair, slicked back, all the way down his neck. His thick, black, waxy cloak, frayed and hanging heavy to the ground from his bony shoulders, well worn like his leathery skin. Barefoot, he shuffled towards me, spitting and spluttering snow and gravel from between his broken teeth, he spoke. And when the great man spoke, it snowed. A wall of glittering sleet. And the sleet turned to flakes, and the flakes turned to hail, and the hail grew bigger and bigger and sharper and darker, until they were tumbling balls of compacted black ash and ice. They rained down like fists on people outside the bus shelter with no cover. and it snowed. Heavy blistering crystals from the sides of the earth, taking down buildings a brick at a time until whole high-rise structures crumbled in, and the other side of the street could only be seen as if through a strobe of dust. The scape was crooked, slanted and broken. Said to me, "Our island is sinking. We must row away from here." He shuddered. "I can take your hand and lead you away from the city to find safety. And I will take your hand, but in return you must take mine. And in so doing, put your trust in the power that I was given." I saw no choice. The street was almost reduced to ruins as I stood aghast. "Whatever you decide," he said, "you must decide quickly. I keep changing. There is no way of knowing what I will become next." He shuddered again and twisted. "Ah, quickly!" So quickly I reached out to take his hand. Our fingers touched, and with a gruff guttural low groan, we doubled over. And in a flurry of grey ash that crumbled into 100 pieces, scattered about the floor in front of me. Slush on the road outside the shelter, I could just make out the outlines of the tiny pieces amongst the slush. They started to liquefy and merge into a black oily substance in a pool. It spread thinly across the pavement. It grew thicker and congealed. It spread into a huge circle across the sides of the road and onto the next pavement. It spread. From the abyss. Beneath it, a mass of smooth, oily black feathers and an enormous head. A mighty golden beak, and above it, two kindly deep mauve eyes with teardrop golden flecks. And then appeared a long, feathery neck and slender, muscular shoulders. An enormous bird. Up it rose, 10 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet, dripping with oil. Its wings cocooned around its body. And finally, two gigantic clawed feet, golden and shining. I strained to look up at him. He was magnificent. He unfurled his great wings and stretched. And with the tip of his wings, scooped me up. Buried me in his black oily feathers. We took off in a gust of courage, using the high street as a makeshift runway, tearing up the tarmac as we clumsily galloped, digging in with his giant claws. Soaring up and up we flew, out and over the city, over towns and villages, hovering just above the buildings and tall trees on our way to the coast. People along the way would look up at the giant bird in all its majesty on its slow, deliberate flight. Amazed and uplifted, they would stare and point beneath its great shadow. They began to run along underneath us, trusting in the guide as I did, knowing it would lead us to better fortunes. And by the time we reached the shore, we'd gathered quite a crowd. Local people had fetched boats of all shapes and sizes and anything that would float from the nearby tourist shops and surrounding villages. We hurried into the vessels. The water around the shore was bubbling as if boiling as our island sank down. It was hard to get away at first, but the further we rowed from the shore, the easier it was, and the calmer the sea became. Us from the weather for a short while and till we could see green meadows in the distance. And we look back at our once beautiful and dear island, now just a sinking iceberg. And suddenly we felt alone, and the warm sun on our backs felt strange. We looked up and around to see our guide, but he was gone. Over the water and in the distance, it was merely the size of a crow. We watched as he moved his giant wings and mottled the water on his way. And every man, woman, and child turned to scream, "Goodbye and thank you!" And with one voice which our nation hadn't known for decades, we sang. And the cry went up. And the cry went up.